This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers on Bumble. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers on Bumble. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers on Bumble. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers on Bumble.
They're coming!
Ah! Oh, been knocking down out of my town. On the Bay Street with the Dunkin' Plan. Saxon at the rhythm, licking them goatskin drum.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, December 15th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning and my name is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day. I have Aaron Green joining me because I needed to read some things, right? I have Aaron Green joining me. Today's show, I have two themes that need unpacking. And it's unpacking because it's trending inside the news. Yesterday, we had a social media personality who was arrested and detained. I'm not sure if she's still arrested or if she's still detained, but I know that she had handcuffs and she was detained by police. This particular social media personality lives abroad and she was here in the Bahamas attending some function and she was detained. Some months ago, this social media personality, who some may call an activist or social media advocate, right, made some pronouncements. Some pronouncements she declared as truth. These were defaming, damning pronouncements. She made some pronouncements about several leading figures in the Bahamas. Definitely defaming pronouncements. One was about a politician. We know that the politician gave a suit, for my lack of better words, for in the legal frame, where she said the politician declared that they were defamed. They're seeking retribution. Today we're going to have some definitions read, right, about criminal libel. I have Aaron Googling that for me. What's criminal libel? What is libel? In general, what is slander is the next word. A number of people on social media are giving their opinions, right? Saying, well, if they say the word allege, we can have Aaron Google that too. If they say the word allege, they can say anything. It's alleged that Aaron Green is 7 foot tall, right? I can say that because I said the word allege. But if they were sacrificing people who are 7 foot tall, and she isn't, and I risk a life because I say the word allege, am I free to say any damning thing against somebody? Especially regarding prominent figures whose reputation is their clout or their value or their insurance. And then you defame them in the public and diminish them in terms of how people view them. And then you do not have any evidence to support your claim. You don't care to give any evidence to support your claim. And in fact, you said, I heard it from the grapevine. Someone told me this. I don't have any evidence. But because I have freedom of speech, I'm free to say anything. And today, I wanted to unpack that. Are Bahamians free to say anything in this dispensation where we are social media commentators? In this dispensation where we have podcasts and we do our own shows? In this dispensation where we believe we are advocates, right? And we want a better Bahamas. And in pursuit of having a better Bahamas, we are willing to say every and anything to make a point, right? Even unsubstantiated points, right? To say, well, I can say this out loud, and it's up to the other person
who I'm accusing of doing whatever it is, to prove that they did not do this. And this is where I have you come in, Aaron. Which I know I started have you looking up for things and be on your phone, whatever it is. Bless you there. I want you to start reading from any point you get there in terms of definitions, just so that the listening audience can appreciate these definitions. And then I want you to do commentary as a social media personality yourself, as a person who take care of, say, no, we can't say this on the air. This is before the courts. As a person who's cautious about not getting in trouble, right? And see, we have a number of social media personalities who follow us, who call into the show, who are loud advocates, especially when we have political parties now, advocacy political parties, who their leaders tend to say any and everything, unsubstantiated things. And I want us to be cognizant of that. And is there any repercussions or when you say things which you can't substantiate?
Oh, yeah, I mean, we could start with the Constitution, right? You have a right to freedom of expression, but those rights have limitations, right? 26(4)(c), Chapter 3, 26(4)(c) of the Constitution, right, says that the state is permitted to discriminate in matters pertaining to personal law, right? So for the purpose of things like good governance, public safety, public health, right? So we have this freedom of expression. The right to freedom of expression is granted by the Constitution, but there are also limitations to that right, to that freedom of expression. And we go into the specific definition. And so what I searched, Mr. Nuri, is libel versus criminal libel, right? And this is the AI overview. I'm going to just tell you all where we're reading from. They didn't give me the chance to do that quite yet. We're reading from Austin Law, Media Defense, right? Two sites. So here we go. Libel versus criminal libel. The primary distinction between libel and criminal libel is that libel is a civil wrong or a tort where an individual sues for damages to their reputation, while criminal libel is an offense against the state that results in criminal penalties such as fines and imprisonment. Now, in our legal dispensation, I don't think criminal libel is limited. Like, the person who can seek recourse is only limited to the state or its representatives, right? But any person can bring a criminal case for libel, right? And so they're suing you for damages to their reputation, but criminally, right? And so it'll result in criminal penalties such as fine and potential imprisonment. So libel, a civil lawsuit brought by a private individual or entity against the person who made the false statement.
And you mentioned civil. So civil is more likely suing, and criminal can infer jail time possibility with that. Mm-hmm. So look up for me slander, so we can have a definition of slander. And I want to know your opinion of using the word allege, because a number of Bahamians are saying that once they use the word allege, because you know they say the police use it all the time. Mm-hmm. There's alleged crime happen, alleged robber, alleged rapist, alleged murderer, I did this. So mm-hmm. Bahamians are now saying that since the police can use allege, since the court is use allege, surely I could use allege too. I can allege that a leader or in government did a crime. A leader in government steals some money. I can allege that a leader of government is corrupt, and say the word corrupt. And I should be able, since I just give my opinion that I believe that they are corrupt, and I can say it.
See, that's not how people say it, though. You notice how it is said. It is alleged.
It is alleged.
Right? Because when you say, I allege, then you have to provide the proof. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you're alleging based upon what? But what people typically say is, it is alleged.
But who alleging it?
See, that's the point. They say, it is alleged, because they don't know.
They don't know. They're just making it up as they go. But let's see what slander is, and then that word.
And alleged. Then we can get back to that, the word alleged. Mm-hmm. Slander, definition, the action or crime of making a false spoken statement damaging to a person's reputation.
So now we know.
It's a spoken statement, slander.
Slander and now libel. Slander is a spoken word.
And libel is published. It could be, yes. I think it could be print, but it's potentially emerging technologies, right? And the intersection with the law. I'm not sure if utterances published like on social media, so like that are recorded and can be played again and again, if they are considered libel as well. But certainly slander is about a false spoken statement.
I was reminded by the editor today that reprinting what people said in terms of slander, right? They say, well, this person slandered this person, this is what they said. That the print media, in this case Guardian Radio or Guardian in general, mm-hmm. can be liable by reprinting what the slander is or what the libel statement is. So they frown upon stuff like that unless it's printed in courts, and when they repeat what is said in court, but not necessarily what the person said. So I was reminded about that too in terms of caution. Mm-hmm. That we are also liable in regards to, you said, I didn't say it, the person said it, and that's repeating it.
You notice how I read news on the show. I read from articles. Mm-hmm. I read from articles in reputable, coming from reputable media entities, mm-hmm. right? And if I am reading aloud on air from another source that it does not have the same stature in the community, then I'm very careful whether I read it at all or what parts of it that I read. There's another thing on the use of the word allege.
Yes.
The first thing you have to ask yourself is, do you have alleged money? Mm-hmm. Do you have alleged money? Because the problem is this, for most people, it's not the case itself. It is the costs associated. So you saying alleged, and you feel that technically, legally, you are safe in making this utterance, or it's in print, or it's oral, it's spoken, and you say allege, they could sue you.
Even if I use the word allege?
Of course. And the question is, do you have alleged money? Do you have the money to deal with a court case until you could show that you're correct? Otherwise, do you have the money to pay out the people because you were incorrect? So before, forget the, is it legal? Can I use it? Can I not use it? The first question you ask yourself is, do I have alleged money? Mm. Right? The same way the government always crying broke, but they always have Bahama money. Mm-hmm. You ain't the government. Mm-hmm. You ain't got that type of money. Right? And so for people out there, you got to balance your right. You got to think about the balancing of rights. Yes, you have a freedom of expression, but that is limited, right? Not only that, you say something, you're going to have to prove it. Now you say, well, the burden is on the other person. You're going to have lawyer money and court money to go and make sure that you can represent yourself.
So let me ask you this. You and I talking, and I'm alleging that something about somebody.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know where the person I heard it from got the information from. Mm-hmm. Right? But I'm now quoting it. It is alleged by somebody, the anonymous person, that you did a crime. Right? Am I free now to say, but I didn't say it. The person who I got the information said.
No. No, you're not free. You're not free. Don't take that risk. Why are you carrying news and you don't even know who you're carrying it from? Here's the next thing. Have you considered that whether the thing that's being uttered is true or not, does the person who initially uttered it, do they have an agenda? Do you know what the agenda is? Are you aware of what the agenda is? Do you realize that you could be participating in their agenda by sharing the utterance and you don't know why it was being shared at this time?
Who has the burden of proof to prove either it for or against? If I accuse you of a crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do I have to prove that you did it? No. Or do you have to prove that you did not do it?
I could be honest with you all on this one. I'm not 100% certain. I'm not certain. I think it's if I assert that Nuri did a bad thing, then I and Nuri sues me, I have to go to court and show that Nuri did the bad thing that I'm asserting he did. I think the burden is on the person that makes the claim.
Imagine.
Who's innocent?
So let me change it. I'm accusing you. What if I accuse you of some kind, make it graphic enough, of molestation or some sort, right? Do I need to prove that you molest someone, or do you need to prove that you did not molest somebody?
If you accuse me of being a child, of being a molester and molesting somebody, and I charge you with like libel or slander, you have to prove that I did the molesting.
Yeah, so I can't say it's alleged. I got to know. I can't be thinking somebody.
You run that risk. You run the risk.
What about freedom of speech, though? Why can't I call somebody corrupt?
Because you have to be able to prove that they are corrupt, and proving corruption is one of the hardest things to do in the world. I'm going to tell you all, it's so hard to make a distinction between incompetence and malfeasance. It's so difficult. Stop doing that.
I can't say that's a politician thiefing the money.
No. The gentleman called the other day, and I clicked the button, right? Because he said, the Mount Moriah, the $7 million, and I wasn't sure where he was going, right? So I hit the button. And then a few seconds later, I thought about it, and I realized he was speaking to the $7 million budget overrun in Beaches and Parks Authority that the MP for Mount Moriah is the chair of, right? But
how he worded it.
Right. And I don't want to be drawn into that he may allege that this person attempted to slander him and that I participated in it, right? Making it realer by allowing it to be published on the airwaves.
We tend to cut people all the time when we're uncertain, or if someone said something out loud and said, no, you went too far there. And there's a reason why we
yes, because it's very easy for someone to construct the argument, right? To construct and say, hey, that person is calling and say this kind of thing all the time. That host is aware of that. That host should have been aware with a topic like this, that it's likely that person could call in and say something wild. In fact, they've already chastised the person publicly for saying something wild, because all the tapes recorded, you know. All the tapes are recorded. So I now run the risk of being drawn into this legal case for them suggesting that I knew it was likely to happen, that I knew if I had this subject, it was likely to happen. And when the person called, I should have measured or exercised greater caution to prevent them from using the platform to slander someone.
This particular social media personality, right, who they say is an advocate and it's a freedom fighter and needs to be able to express themselves, has been accused of criminal libel before, right?
Let's cut it right off. Mm-hmm. All of these social media personalities that perceive themselves to be investigative journalists go join the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. Go and show yourself to be an investigative journalist. And then do some investigative journalism, because that's not what it is that you're doing. You run the risk of prejudicing justice. If you think that you're right, if you think you're onto something, but you expose it or talk about it in that manner, you prejudicing the chance of achieving the same justice that you say you're fighting for. So if you are claiming that I do this because I am a freedom fighter, I am a nationalist, this is investigative journalism, go become an investigative journalist. Yeah, and then work on that alleged money.
There's also expression of telling your truth, right? Where the victims are able to accuse somebody who has abused them and tell their truth in their particular personality. And they, in fact, call names. And when I was younger, my father did this to me. Or when I was younger, my mother did this to me. Mm-hmm. How is that in terms of defamation and libel, slander, when you just want to tell your truth?
So that becomes a bit more tricky what I do know is that individuals have been able to rely on an acquittal, right? Or the case has been thrown out, right? To say, hey, this matter that they're talking about has been before the courts. And the courts have shown that there's no case, like the things that they are suggesting did not happen, or, right, that it went before the courts, I was charged, the jury came back, I was acquitted, right? Or I was found innocent. Which is slightly different, just slightly different, right? So with that one, though, we try to build systems to support victims, right? But we also try to help victims move through this process, right, in a safe and healthy way and in a legal way. You believe that somebody has done something to you. You do not have the proof. You be very careful because that person could turn around and sue you and destroy you, right? We provide therapy, counseling, peer-to-peer counseling, professional counseling opportunities. It's a very difficult space to navigate. But the victim, the person that is the victim or perceives themselves to be the victim, runs the risk of being hit with slander or libel charges if they cannot prove or show some, right, show proof that this thing happened. Now, in the court of public opinion, in the court of public opinion, if you're making these statements and the audience does not, like they don't believe, there's not a shred that they believe, then you run the risk of feeling re-violated, right? Because you've brought something to the public domain in a way that is reckless and it will result in people questioning you like you in a court of law and this expectation. And they can say, you brought it to the public, right? Attacking this person, you can't close the window curtains now and say, we can't look in at your life. We interrogating this because somebody else's reputation is on the line. Like, that's what you face, right? So we recommend that people don't do that because you create an environment where you feel like you're being re-victimized.
We have a gentleman who lives in Overtown, Miami, right? Not a social media personality type, right? Who have basically accused from the prime minister downward to the commissioner of police downward to commodore of the defense force downward of all kind of different things. And I mentioned him to say this, we have a number of bohemians who are fascinated by such. And they tend to share these information on their page and say, see it here. This person who does that is saying that. Be sharing the information. Are we also responsible for what is being shared?
You run that risk. Well, you run that risk of sharing unsubstantiated claims, even if they are made in the wild, wild west internet, the wild, wild world web. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You run the risk of being held liable for, even if you didn't make the statement, for the publishing, for the dissemination, for the, when you proliferate, right? Like, you didn't put it on the internet, but you're sharing it, right? And without a caption that says, I don't believe this, like, tag the Royal Bahamas Police Force in it. That way you're sharing it to get their attention, right? Like, mind you, you could send it to them in a private message too, right? You could call the cyber crimes unit, and then they give you a WhatsApp number and you could send it to them, right? But you run the risk of being roped in. And then you run the risk of your integrity being questioned.
We live in this dispensation where we no longer trust governments. Not this government, but governments in general. Mm-hmm. Right? We're suspicious from all the leaders. Or any political leaders, we're suspicious of the church.
When you say we, you mean me, right?
Well, you
too. Yeah, good. No, good.
Yeah, yeah. So when you say the royal we.
No,
everybody.
But when you say me, then make sure you know inclusive. They know you mean me too.
Yes. Yeah. Right. We are suspicious of all the politicals, all the politicians, all the church members. Mm-hmm. We suspicious of behemoths in general. We think all of them can be found wanting, right? I wanted to know, with that attitude of being suspicious, right? Is it that we looking for bad news no matter what, and that's why we sharing this?
That's opinionative type commentary now.
Okay, so I think the two things are separate. Mm-hmm. I think there is a broad human social condition where we're always looking for bad news.
I'm talking about humans in general, but yeah.
But right, that's a normal condition. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. I think for the Bahamas now specifically, we have a cultural, we have a heritage. Is the 80s far enough away for us to call it heritage now?
Yeah.
Right? Like, we have a historic cultural practice of peeping some and keeping some. Mm. Right? We live in islands where the geography dictates who we are more than any moral compass, pun intended. The things that happen in this place, because of what this place is, renders us never knowing what anybody is into or up to. Mm. Right? It'd be the home of the pirates. Right? But that in and of itself isn't the problem. The problem is we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about what you peep some and you keep some mean. Right? Like, we don't say that, hey, we don't really be in our neighbor's business, you know. Like, he may drink a little too much on a Sunday. He may smoke the devil's lettuce. He may not license his car. We don't get into our neighbor's business. But if we hear, right, but there's a line. If we know that somebody's life is at risk, if somebody's being beaten half to death every other night, we should step in. Like, we don't teach that. We don't teach there's a line, there's a standard, right? Like, this ain't just hop, go by, fly by night. There's a reason why we don't peer into our neighbors' bedrooms, but there's also a line where we know when it's time to step in, right? Because of the drug era. And before the drug era, there was prohibition and rum running. And before prohibition and rum running, there was wrecking, right? We have to talk about these things. And after the drug era, there's the financial services industry, where one person could sit on 100 boards, and you ask yourself, well, how is that possible, right? We don't talk about these things, so we leave people functionally illiterate because they don't know how to navigate the world around them. Now we don't know what you're supposed to peep and what you're supposed to keep, right? This time, the thing that we keep in is that the adults in that house are molesting the children. That's the thing you're supposed to talk. That's the thing you're supposed to talk. Mm. Right? And so I agree with you. Culturally, the Bahamas is a unique case, right? There are reasons why we peep some and we keep some. But you got to tell the children what the reason is.
So I was going and trying to read some commentary on what people were saying on social media. I'm trying to find something I actually could read, because some of these things is even worse than what the personality actually said.
Here's a text. The text says, "Hi, Aaron. Great show. So, Aaron, why when you were saying something you don't want to be charged, they would tell you to say alleged? I thought if I use alleged, they can't charge me. Help me understand." That's not necessarily true.
I want to also point it out. When the courts use it and when the police uses it, the person's being charged.
Yeah.
And you haven't found guilty as yet. So the person's being charged before the court.
That's about the presumption of innocence.
Yes.
Right?
So when the word alleged is supposed to be used in that court realm, is someone who's going to be charged before the court, who's being charged before the courts, but haven't been found guilty as yet. However, we have bastardized the whole term and use it as a colloquial term, and now use it as a defense. Since the court uses it, I can use it too, even though the person's not being charged. So I'm going to use this word allege, thinking that I'm
safe within the same rules, within the scope. Here's the next thing. In the law, right, you could get charged with a crime or you could get charged with suspicion, right? Like, we're arresting you for murder and we're arresting you on suspicion of murder, right? Like, the legal literacy is so important, right? When you to understand the use of legal terms and to to achieve a proper interpretation, right, of these terms when they're being used. And so they may have taught you that, but that does not apply to you, the ordinary citizen. Mm. Don't talk people business. Stop talking things y'all can't substantiate. And for God's sake, if you're going to sip, if you're going to gossip, if you're going to talk about things you cannot substantiate, you do it in private.
Do it in private.
Absolute private. And you must be aware of your surroundings. Right? Anybody could be listening. Anybody could be recording. Here's the next thing. You don't know who has their phone in their pocket and just hit the record button. Just soaking up everything you're saying on the bus because you have misinterpreted what privacy means in the public space.
Let's see if we can get this caller right now. Caller, can you hear us?
Yes, Mr. Green and Miss Green and Mr. Newry.
Hey.
Morning, morning.
Miss Green, you said something just now. Newry said about Boyder getting charged for murder or alleged murder.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, if you charge me for murder and you convict me, that's good. But what happens if you charge me for alleged murder? Mess up my reputation. Mess up everything on me. What recourse do I have for that?
That's why it's called a... Hold on. That's why it's alleged. Hold on.
So if they say alleged and I still be charged, and then they find that it's not me, it's somebody else.
But they didn't charge you with murder.
Oh, so you're going to get charged with alleged murder?
No. Pause. It's two different... One essentially says we get enough evidence to charge you with murder and bring you before the courts.
Yeah, the other one says charge for that. Okay, that's good.
Right. The other one says, listen, we suspect it. We don't have enough evidence, but we have enough to detain you on suspicion. So
you're going to charge me on that last one?
Well, I imagine that they don't have enough evidence to charge you. And so what protects you is the alleged. That's what protects you.
So anything alleged, anything I can say, anything.
No, you're not a police officer. No, you or an officer of the court.
The police can do that though.
In
the intent to charge
it. They alleged it. And then later down say, okay, it ain't you then. We let you go.
Yeah.
And I don't get nothing for that.
Well, you get let go.
That's what I get?
Yes.
You have to be for 48 hours, then come back and say,
you want to
see something, and then come back. And then all that time, I'd lose my job.
But you want to
lose my job.
You want to charge the court. You want to punish the judicial system for the behavior of the public. It's the public who does not make a distinction between a suspicion and an arrest, conviction. Right? It's the public that treats anybody and everybody that end up in Fox Hill as a criminal who deserves to be hung. They refuse to acknowledge that people on remand are not the same as people who have been convicted. And so I appreciate...
Let me say this quickly. I think somebody that is being remanded for 2 years comes out, go to court, found innocent. It has to be some recourse for them, man. It has to be some. It's unfair.
We, the people, should start a fund. We should start a fund and put money into it, and then we should demand penalties, right? We should demand penalties for actors in the judiciary who blatantly or flagrantly disregard their duty to the court, right, to ensure that it could move as quickly as possible. There's a court backlog, so I'm agreeing with you. The person, the suspect, is not responsible for the court backlog, but he's going to suffer for it, right? So we put pressure on the government to fix this judiciary so we stop paying out people for unnecessary breaches of their rights.
And then you know how we behemoths go. Even though they say that you're innocent, it was in you after 2 years. Some behemoth people still going to look at you with a funny eye.
Yeah, but that's not the government's fault. That's our fault. We need to turn the hearts of
man. Yeah, but it's the government for having you there for you in order to be looked out of that way.
Two separate things. Two separate things. It is a problem that the government cannot move at the pace of its own policy, and that we have, it is a massive historic backlog, right? And inefficiencies in the court system to the point where we plea dealing everybody, right? That's one thing. It's another thing that the attitudes towards people who have been caught up in the judicial system is deplorable.
But Ms. Green, I know you're going to go right now, but yeah. You see, this plea deal thing, that's another problem. I ain't plea dealing for nothing what I know I'm innocent for. Some people talk about they plea dealing, they innocent, but they don't. The time to wait, but I got to wait my time out. Because I ain't no plea dealing for nothing what I know I'm innocent. Now, if I'm guilty, you might get me the plea deal, but if I'm innocent, I know I'm innocent.
I feel you. I want to talk more about the plea deal, man.
Thank you very much.
But cool. But this new show, we can't talk more about it.
I you want to read the text? Read that text.
No, when you're ready.
No, we're going to read that text now. I also want to have another conversation I want to talk about. I still want to talk about Junkanoo and what's happening. So I want to have that in the record because I want us to analyze that. So I for this last half, I'll do it. But let's go through these texts right now so we can
I can run through transition. Them quickly. Yeah. C.A. and Aaron... Back in the olden days, we the peasants and serfs didn't have to worry about getting sued by the elites or leaders for defamation, libel, or slander. We had to worry about losing our head or made to disappear to never be heard from again. So what we the peasants and serfs came up with to critique those in power is using satire and jokes as court jesters and comedians and singers and actors. Another text, was the individual allegedly, quote unquote, allegedly, arrested, why not give the name since the arrest is actual fact? Well, they typically give the name unless it's a case of sexual violence that involves a minor or a relative, right? So they won't give the name of the accused to protect the identity of the victim.
I think I may even have an eyewitness news headline, but I'll have to see if I do have it.
Okay. Yeah. Here's another text. What is good and what is evil? Message is for Aaron Reed T-shirt. Oh, okay. So you could send a quick message to 4321757. Text only. The person running that, say text only. And I beg the Guardian, if you drop it off here in the morning and I pick it up before I leave the show, but I can't be leaving T-shirts in the people them place. Mm. But 4321757, text only, and they will respond to you quickly. Thank you very much. So our Facebook and WhatsApp libel. Y'all play around with Facebook,
yes, Facebook
and WhatsApp.
Yes, WhatsApp is libel.
The rules apply there. Here's another thing. You have set your account to private, but with a court order, those platforms will talk your business in a second with a court order. Hey, CA, I see you having a big... Ooh, okay. What became of the senior nurse who spoke out of the shortfalls at PMH?
I'm not sure if she libel or slander anybody, or did she slander the hospital.
See, this is it. I think we all know the state of the hospital, right?
Yeah.
Now,
would she be a whistleblower?
There was a note. Somebody indicated that some of the images and videos that were being circulated at the time of that discussion were very old, were mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that necessarily diminishes the authenticity of what it was she was saying. So look at that and tell me if I could read that one out loud, Mr. Newry.
Yeah, man.
All right, so this says, so that means everything Lincoln Bain speaks of also accusing these people of is true because no one's suing him? No. N-O. Hold on. If you didn't get that, remember what Minna say? N-P-O. Mm-hmm. That's an extra on the O. No. What you said, Texter, that's not true. Would you all have heard me read that text just now? Disregard that, right? Just because somebody doesn't sue you when you make a slanderous statement, like when you slander them or you make a libelous statement, right? Just because they don't sue you, it doesn't mean that what was said is true. It possibly means that they don't have the time to entertain you because you are looking for exposure and attention.
I want to go on break, but I have the phone lines full. So let me run through them, and then we'll see if we could continue the conversation or we should transition. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
The Royal Bahamas.
Go ahead. Guardian Radio AM. You're live.
Yes, hello.
You're live, go ahead.
Yes, I think there are 3 points. One, I think we've culturally overlapped the U.S. Constitution of freedom of speech with our Article 23.
Mm-hmm.
And so we somehow have blended them. But when you speak about allegedly, the point is, like, for instance, you use it's a lot of nuances and not enough time, but let's use one as an example. You have used one as an example. Say someone went to a meeting. You don't write, oh, they went to the alleged meeting. But if the meeting happened and only participation is disputed, then you'll say allegedly attended the meeting. And so this double hedging that we do, accuse her of allegedly doing something, is where the problem is. And so I think somehow we have to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what we'll do, we'll take this quick break, and then we start off fresh again. And I'm going to join this conversation, so we'll stick on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow I just start the next conversation, man.
We would have had a great conversation this morning. And it turns out we did.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
This is Guardian Radio AM, and we're going to be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $50,000 to provide holiday meals for families in need. But we need your help. From November 3rd to December 17th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Cost Right, Fresh Markets, Eleuthera Markets, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in New Providence, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. We're going to run straight to the phone line and then some more texts. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron, and good morning, C.A.
Morning, morning.
Yeah, I'm here, Aaron. I'm here lamenting on the fact how you all allowed the government to pass a human trafficking bill under the guise of a human smuggling bill and get away with it.
Okay, pause. Hold on, pause. I appreciate what you're saying. However, let's start here. See, because if it were me, right, Duncombe, I know right away that the response that arose was not effective. It was only going to cause more confusion and chaos, right?
No.
Hold on.
No.
Yes, hold on. Hold on, man. Hold on. So we've been talking about it all morning. Functional literacy and the need to have legal literacy, not just to understand what you're reading, but to lodge, to put forward a substantive and effective protest, right? These are the points that I'm making. I also had issues with the bill, but you know what happened? I realized that I could not have a coherent conversation about it given the approach to the bill by the broader public. Y'all had a conversation that just wound you guys up into a fury, right? You allowed yourselves to be drawn into a partisan debate about a bill that you all say that the other party did the same thing.
The thing about it is, and those persons were talking the loudest. But the point is, and they had the platform to talk the loudest.
Yeah.
But I use your show and stuff like that. But I'm not a legal mind, but I know I could read and I could comprehend. And when you're going to talk about, when you talk about Section 11 that they moved out, right?
Mm-hmm. You still there? I could hear you. And I could hear me on your radio.
Hello.
Hi, back. You back.
Yeah, I'm saying that they were able to get away with it because the official opposition didn't put up much resistance, but that wouldn't have passed if I was there. But the thing is, they did a poor, lousy job, Aaron, at cutting and pasting. Because when you're going to talk with victims, the only victim in that whole ordeal when you're talking human smuggling are children. Everyone else who are 18 and over are criminals.
Okay.
That's the point.
I got you. I appreciate.
One more quick. With John Canoe, I'm here basking at the victory for the world famous Bali Boys and Grammy Boy, who had all that to say. You know, I was right again, and he was wrong.
Talk John Canoe again, hopefully tomorrow. But I was going to do it today, but we might do it tomorrow.
See, Duncan, when I talk about...
Thanks very much.
Yeah. When I talk about legal literacy and the reading of the bill, right, and understanding what's happening, the bill seeks to convict the people who are engaged in the act of smuggling, right? The bill acknowledges that there are the people who smuggle and there are the people who are being smuggled. Now, let's get into the legal literacy and the jurisprudence part of it, just very quickly, right? Like, we recognize that people, whether they voluntarily or involuntarily participate in smuggling, once they are in the smuggling operation, they lose all control. They have no autonomy. They are left to the whims and the will of the people who are doing the smuggling. See, it's just like teenagers. It's just like the teenagers in that space, like you're 16 and you're old enough to have sex, but you're 18 and you're not old enough to leave your parents' house without their permission. Like, we talk about that space right there, right? And we say, she got in the car willingly with the boy. She's only catching a ride home from work because it was raining, right? She voluntarily got in the car. But once she got in the car, the boy changed his mind, or didn't change his mind, because he always had this plan. He'd taken her somewhere else before he takes her home. And then he's going to coerce her for sex. And then he's going to rape her if she doesn't say yes. Right? Like, yes, she voluntarily got in the car. There are all kinds of circumstances why. But once she was in the car, she lost all control and autonomy. And the boy locked the car. She couldn't get out, right? The bill, the law, the jurisprudence recognizes that whether somebody willingly or unwillingly took up the journey, right, to participate in smuggling, once they're a part of the operation, they lose all control and autonomy. They are essentially a victim. So that's, you have to understand that to understand why it's worded that way. That's just one example. I know you won't go on. Just one example.
I see we have another phone call there. But I appreciate you trying to explain that. I'm not sure if Bohemians are appreciative of what you're trying to do.
But you still have to see it.
No, because remember the little audio clip?
Yeah.
Where you come from? I was in the, and they take me, and I, why are you all fresh up? Mm. That was a real little child, and look how they talk about her and to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You're live.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri and Aaron Green.
Morning.
Hi. If you have a social media page with your name on it, your specifically your government name on it, right? And you use that particular page to scandalize and slander the person's name without having the actual proof, isn't that criminal libel?
It's definitely libel.
And it depends on which offense they opt for. They could opt for libel, which is civil, or they could opt for criminal libel.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of persons on social media doing the same antics. And it's about time that the Bahamas government some kind of way finds some sort of strength in the law to deal with this issue. Because what it does, it destroys people's lives and people's families.
We just need one to get arrested, no?
Pardon me?
We just need one to get charged and found guilty. Just need one.
Yes, sir. All right, have a good day.
But thanks very much for the call, and I agree with you.
I ever tell you about when that happened to me?
Oh, go ahead.
Go to the next caller.
I
can tell you next.
Go ahead, caller. I want to hear Aaron's story, but go ahead.
Good morning, Aaron and CA. This is Matt Aubrey from Org. How are you?
Morning. How you do?
I'm well. I just wanted to piggyback on Aaron, to your point, your comment related to the dialogue relating to this most last legislation and people, you know, getting in their feelings and not necessarily taking the time to go through the bill. And part of that has to do with the fact that these types of things are not done regularly. Mm. That when you put consultation out, you know, sporadically and through different means, and you don't necessarily make it as user-friendly or set the expectation that we want to get community voices early and use them to develop these pieces of legislation, when you do bring things forward, you're going to get uneven results. People haven't been primed to be successful on some of this dialogue or listening or analyzing the impact of bills, and the short period of time often that people will learn about it also seems to make the response all the more emotional and not as in-depth as it could be to be constructive.
Matt, in 30 seconds, because we soon go, but I got to invite you back to say, go and define it more. What is the right way of bringing about a bill? What should have done, the government should have done?
So we've been talking about a consultative process that would be more regularized and standardized, where information will be brought before, you know, within a six-month period of time, that this is the type of legislation we're looking at. And then as formative parts of the legislation are developed, that we make sure that there's stakeholder consultations or even a website. A lot of places have that, where you can get information or find out what's being considered. And then ways to get your information in there that could be digital, but they also could be in person. That may, when things are put forward, you can get what they call a green paper that develops a white paper, and then the draft of the legislation becomes available not before it's being debated or a month or two, but it's a regular way that folks can get the information. They're looking out for it, and those people that are interested in those types of policies are going to be regularly able to do so. We at Org have something called our Policy Review Center, where we do put pieces of legislation up, and we do want to get your input, and we'll share that with the government, the opposition, and the public. But often, if we get the bill just a couple of weeks ahead of time, there's not a lot of information or time for folks to really absorb it and that to be used in the process of the debating and deliberating on those bills.
Does the government give org and an organization like yourself like an outline of all of the bills that you're proposing for the entire year or the entire duration of their term?
Not at all. No, we get it when everybody gets it. So if it's been usually when it's been tabled. But there have been instances recently where different parts of the government have sought input. I mean, even this bill was put forward, you know, in October. Data protection was put forward in August. So there has been a call, but it's not usually a wide call, and there's no central place that people would go to be able to say, oh, I can read about this bill in a way that's maybe less legalese and more functional, or debate the potential implications. And so when it happens in a public forum or with the political rhetoric like it did, often you're not 100% sure that the information I'm getting is accurate or figure out how it applies to your particular application.
Yes, and mind you, I now need to invite you on just to talk about bills and the process of where we see the Bahamas in the immediate future on how we pass laws.
And if y'all are going to reignite Access Parliament, the media platform that you guys had with Tate Adley running it, that was a great resource.
It was. It's funny that one of the things we brought forward was an opportunity to see where your and when your MP was going to be speaking in Parliament, and both parties seem to have co-opted that. So we're working on retooling what's the where are we going to bring value in the best possible way that becomes accessible. But anytime you want to have us on, y'all just say.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, though, for bringing these conversations forward.
Thanks very much.
Absolutely. A text there says, Aaron, you're talking foolishness. How come no one was ever successful of suing the punch for over 30-plus years? First off, you know if people sue? You know if people sue? Second of all, if they did sue and they were not successful, perhaps he had proof of the allegations that were posted in his paper. That's it. Like, if people actually sued and they did not win, it would be because he could prove everything that was said.
The ability to prove.
Yes.
To prove. But let's go concluding because it's now 12 o'clock. You can't use a ledge as a defense.
No, because I was on a radio station 20 plus years ago. We were talking about gay rights and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And somebody tried to say something. So what did the producer do? He's turning up the music so you can't hear them talking. That's how you save yourself.
Yes.
And hope the producer's always paying attention to prevent you from saying something slanderous or libelous on the radio.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Hopefully be able to talk Junkanoo tomorrow. We'll see. But have a beautiful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.